The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Marvelous, Monumental, Most Fascinating, if you understand Vulcan, Massively Mind-Bending Monday, as we join our hearts and minds in one accord to draw closer to the King of Kings and glorify his name. First, without the resurrection, Christians are silly people. Christianity is not about living a good life here on earth so we can leave a legacy here on earth, that we lived a good life here on earth. In biblical truth, it's not about earth life at all. Next, we often want to follow the Lord the best we can, and from time to time, the path is noticeably evident. At other times, a wee bit fuzzy. But we cannot afford to make a mistake when the pathway is clear, that means everything is just hunky-dory. And finally, God is called the God of comfort. Without using too much brain space, we can appreciate that his comfort applies to our personal lives. What we may miss is that when we do receive comfort from God in any way, place, shape, or form, it is often not just for our own personal use.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. david@hemustincrease.org comes right to my $1.19 Chromebook. You can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you call us at 972-445-0770, Terrific T will answer the phone. When do you get that happening? When she answers the phone for you? It's like getting a free steak and lobster dinner. Do you like steak and lobster?
I think that might have been top three.
Yeah. I mean, especially the drawn butter. And then especially if the lobster's from, like, Maine, it's like, oh, hello. Anyway, then she gives it to me, and it's like you get the bill because it's not free anymore. Anyhow, you are welcome to reach out to us in any of these capacities to share some of the things the Lord's doing in your life, to give a praise report, a prayer request. We usually pray for people on the spot because we think that's the best way to do it. People will ask you to pray for them, and you say yes, and then, wait a minute, and then what you do is you forget. And then you run into them and you're like, oh. So I just pray on the spot. What are you waiting for? Do it right then and there. And so we'll do that. We have Bible trivia. We have opportunity for people to share different things. We just want to make it fun. In a certain sense, it's about fellowship with one another. That's our goal. You have great churches, great ministries, great teaching ministries, great places to talk about your political positions, great places to do a lot of that. You'll hear me talk about politics, but usually only when they breach into the Word of God, okay? Otherwise, everything they do just breaches in the Word of God, and I'd spend all the entire show just talking about that, and I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the Lord. He's more cool than they are. So, ha! All right, so with that in mind, let's get our first trivia question. We're in this little zone. I don't know what it is. I think it's cool. So we're giving you the first verse of a book in the Bible. Then you're supposed to tell me what the book of the Bible is. And the next couple that are coming up are a little challenging. This one maybe not as challenging, but more challenging. So get yourself ready. Get yourself ready. Here's the first line, the first verse of this particular book. You got to tell me what book it is. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Israel. The words of the preacher. Did you get that? Words of the preacher. The son of David, the king of Israel. The only hint I can give you whatsoever is be careful, because this one is located to another one by the same author. Be very careful. All right, there it is. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king of Israel. Joy and Cordy stepping in immediately, wasting no time. If you want to text in, 214-210-8483. If you want to call in, 972-445-0770. What am I doing? What's my next thing? We did DNA. We can do website. We should probably do website. Let's do the website real quickly. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. So go there and check it out. We have our new bumper sticker that we're not releasing yet, but I did make 5 copies because I just had to. Okay, so I spent $16 of my own money to do it, but I just had to do it. It's pretty funny. It's on the website. Again, what book of the Bible starts with the words of the preacher, the son of David, king of Israel? That's your one opportunity to get that down. Don't forget, any topic is open for conversation. And why is that? That's because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. And sometimes we're not even sure if it's that. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. All right, I got a pretty good teaching that I want to talk about. And some people are going to get a little offended, and I'm not trying to not offend people. I'm just not trying to offend people. I'm just telling it the way it is, and you either fall on the left or the right. I can't do much about that. So what am I supposed to do? 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 19. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. I think you could pretty much spend a year just saying that. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You're still in your sins. Therefore, those who have fallen asleep in Christ have also perished. If we have placed our hope in Christ for this life only, we should be pitied more than anyone. Not even discussing, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, that we have a satanic adversary that can't stand us. It's just like, if Jesus didn't resurrect, it's like, what is the point? So here we're going into worldly philosophies. I'm not trying to get too high-minded here, but Socrates was the one who said the unexamined life is not worth living. Okay? All right. Here's my response. I've examined your life. You should be shot. That's like, in other words, it's like if you examine everybody's life, everything they think, everything they say, and everything they do, everybody falls short. That's what you get. Nobody does it. Nobody does it perfect. There is no righteous one. No, not one. And if it's all about examining in this lifetime that we're doing super good or we're doing super bad, and it's all about the legacy you leave. No, it isn't. I'm going to spend all this money and build this monument to myself so that when I die, it'll be like a huge carnival ride that you go when you go and see my grave, right up until God goes like this, and there's a new heavens and a new earth, and that's gone. So you know how long that will last? Right up until, and then it's gone. So my point in saying that is that existentialism manifests and examined life is not what Christianity is about. It's not, I'm going to be the best me that I can be. The best you that you can be fell short of the glory of God and defines that you are without a doubt a sinner. Why? Because Romans 3:23 says all have sinned. How many is all? I think we'll go with that. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. There's no escaping. Christian existentialism is an oxymoron, like jumbo shrimp or airline food. That's funny. Just leave it alone. Airline food. Get it?
It's not really food most of the time. I'm trying to say, you know, or a pro-choice person being for life. Never. That's so ridiculous. It's like, come on. Christian existentialism is not the key. The key is depending on the righteousness of Jesus Christ, whose message was verified by what? His resurrection. That he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through him. Okay? All right. Do we have somebody who wants to answer the question? Okay. Lean it over. Lean it over. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. It's Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. Somebody had brought up what a blessing it was to hear you the other day, so I just thought I'd pass that along to you. I thought you'd be encouraged by that. I thought that was
cool. Thank you. I get encouraged by everybody all the time on this show.
That's awesome. All right. Now, this is a good one. What book starts with the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem?
Well, I'm not quite sure, but I think it might be Ecclesiastes.
That is correct. And why that is so good is because Solomon also wrote Proverbs, which is just before it. So a lot of people might be thinking that's probably Proverbs. But nope. That was Ecclesiastes. Excellent.
I do, too. I thought it was Proverbs at first.
Yeah, because it leans that way, and you know that Solomon wrote the Proverbs. So you're thinking, well, that's the son of David. It's got to be that. But this is where he comes up, and he goes, all is vain. And actually, in the New King James, it says, frustration. Everything is frustrating.
Okay. Well.
That's a great interpretation. Excellent job. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, and congratulations on your paper, too.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
God bless. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. You don't go anywhere.
Destroying everyone and everything we find.
But I want us to get this specific scripture, and it's really important. It's Romans chapter 4, verse 18 through 21. It says this, against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it was said, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. Hey, it was not an impossibility. God gave him a promise when he was 75. It didn't get to fulfilled until he was 100. 25 years between promise and fulfillment, God made sure he was good and dead before the promise came about, so that when Isaac was born, everybody knew, it's amazing, it's a miracle. Exactly. And it wasn't that Abraham didn't know he was old. He faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, 99 before the conception took place, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Verse 20, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. It doesn't say that Abraham went through this and turned around and yelled at God and complained. He gave glory to God. He knew God could do this. And he believed that the promise that God had given him was important. And he held on to that, even though facing the fact, the circumstance was completely wiped out. Guess what? God showed up. I'm telling you right now, you can tell me all you want about circumstances and situations and your feelings and your processes, but I am telling you, when God shows up, according to Scripture and according to testimony, to the law and to the testimony, the Scripture says, to the prophets and to the testimony, here's what you got to be aware of. When God shows up, changes everything. And you're thinking, well, will that happen for Easton Scott? I hope so. But guess what? If my daughter spends her whole life believing, and Easton's whole life believing, that God can step in and this can change and that may yet happen, she's not done a bad thing. She's raised a child with this gracious hope. If God decides not to do that, instead of complaining about it, it's about giving glory to God, believing that he knows what is in our best interests, even when we don't understand. And yes, I get it. There are tough things. I went through a myriad of things, and I'm surprised. First of all, I'm surprised that I'm still alive. Second of all, I'm surprised that the Lord brought me through any of them. I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy of it. But he did it anyway. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Always good to have everybody on board. What a great show already. We're just rocking and rolling, having a good time. And for people who are like, well, I don't like rock and roll. Well, my feet are on the rock and my name is on the roll. So that's a good one. Huh? That's an oldie, but a goodie. I'm not really supposed to comment about movies, right? That's like because I watched the Netflix, the number two movie on. Maybe I shouldn't talk about that. I watched Coming to America, the second one.
Did you like it?
Not compared to the first one. The first one was so funny. And I will say this: I'm not going to say anything about the movie. I don't suggest any movies because everybody gets mad at me when I do. But I was waiting for a great joke at the end like they did on the very first one where the guy tells the joke about the soup and the spoon, which is one of my favorite jokes. And they didn't have a good joke at the end. I was really kind of bummed out. Like if it's like, boo. That was,
aww.
I know, that's how I felt. My wife was like, we don't watch a movie for a joke. It's like, I do. That's the problem. All right, let me get to the next trivia question. All right, this is a great, great one, and you need to actually know this. This is one of the Gospels. So now you had a 25% chance in getting this correct. One of the four Gospels. Which one opens up with the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham? Which gospel opens with that? The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. If you know, you can text in 214-210-8483, or you can call in 972-445-0770. We've done most everything. I get to do my joke now. This is a fantastic joke. If you don't like this joke, you don't have a pulse. Okay, that's not fair. That was me saying that to you so you couldn't buzz me before I got through it. You got the buzzer ready? Okay, it's ready. Now, this is funny. Short, but funny. A little girl asked her mom, where do people come from? Her mother answered, God made Adam and Eve, and they had children, and that's how all mankind was made. A couple of days later, she asked her father the same question. The father answered, many years ago, there were monkeys which the human race evolved from. The confused little girl returned to her mother and said, Mommy, how is it possible that you told me that we were created by God and Daddy said we came from monkeys? The mother answered, well, dear, it's very simple. I told you about my side of the family, and your father told you about his side of the family.
Yay!
Come on. That is legendary. That's a good one. That is so funny.
I like that one.
That is a good one. You got to be able to use that one. That's just a good one. I told you about my side of the family. He told you about his. Oh, my goodness. All right, do we have somebody answering the trivia question? All right, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is Brother Ace.
Hey, Brother Ace. How are you, my good friend?
Fine. Doing great. Doing great. Thank the Lord for that healing of my body and your prayers.
Yeah.
Always prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I don't know if you got to hear that joke or not, but that was a classic joke that I told. All right. So the gospel that starts with the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, which gospel is that?
Is it Matthew?
That is correct, sir! And that's critically important, and I'll tell you why. That's the first line in the New Testament, and God wasn't absent when they were putting the books together. And that first line, specifically Matthew writing his gospel to the Jewish people, showing the connection to King David and the connection to Abraham, thereby showing Jesus as the Messiah.
I got you. Yeah, that's good.
It's really good stuff.
Very good. Very good.
Excellent.
Well, you're, much study has made you a crazy. No, I said, oh, you know, who was not the office, but Cam Griffith said, too much study has made you crazy.
That's right.
Something like that. Yeah, so.
That's
you're
right.
You're doing a lot of studying. Don't go crazy on me, would you?
You got it, brother.
Okay. I love you.
All right. God bless you, brother. Love you, too.
Okay, appreciate you.
All right. Love it. Take care. Drive safe, by the way. All right. So
that was a good joke, huh? I told you about my side of the family. Oh, my goodness.
All right. Let me do this one.
I'm sorry. I just find that to be amusing.
I get a couple of days off without having to think about school, so I'm like lightheaded. Is that funny? Is that terrible to say? All right. 1 Corinthians 16:9. Because a wide door for effective ministry has been opened for me, Paul making this reference, yet many oppose me. I want to say something about ministry. I want to be really careful how I say it. I don't want people to take this the wrong way. This is applicable to all of us individually, but it's also applicable to people who are in churches and who function in churches. And I want you to be careful. I'm a very, very strong anti, you know, the pastor is God ministry. I mean, I just can't stand those over-authoritative kind of ministries. The ministry of the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the purpose of equipping the saints for ministry so they can build up the body of Christ. Can't escape Ephesians 4:12 no matter what. Should never be a one-man show. That's always a dangerous thing. That being said, there's still usually a lead shepherd, somebody who's key. Even in Acts 15, you see James. James was like the final word arbitrator. James was the Lord's brother, even over Paul at that time and over Barnabas and even over Peter. So James had usurped and had gotten to a very specific position. There's no way. You can't throw that stuff out. That's exactly what it is. And sometimes the leader makes a decision, and it might not be the decision you would have made, but that does not necessitate that you don't support it, okay? In other words, if the person was genuine, it's not self-interest-oriented, trying to make the best decision they can, and they make the decision, and that's the way the church is going to go, and it's not sinful, it's not incorrect, it's not bizarre, it's just, hey, this is the decision we made. We decided to get, you know, church's fried chicken instead of Kentucky fried chicken, you know, kind of thing. Then, you know, you support it, and you stand by it. What happens, though, is there becomes a lot of opposition. And I want to bring this up because Paul mentioned this. Because a wide door for effective ministry has opened for me, yet many oppose me. Now, we know that Satan opposes anything that we do. He opposes any kind of ministry we'll get in. But sometimes people can be the opposition in the context that Satan uses them, or they're operating in their flesh, or they're just mad and they just don't like the situation. And what I want to say is in the nicest way is, number one, as a Christian, be aware that God opens doors for you. And even though you'll have open doors, there will still be opposition in battles in that open door. Just because there's an open door, just because there's an opportunity from the Lord, doesn't mean that everything is hunky-dory. It doesn't mean everything's perfect. So stop thinking that. Stop being. That's very immature of us to do, to think, well, this is the Lord's will, so everything should be a snap. Like, I don't think that's how that works. In fact, I don't see that anywhere with anybody in Scripture ever. So that's pretty good testimony there. The other part about this I want to bring up is for people not to be one of the people that oppose when the Lord opens the door. In other words, if the church is doing something and the leadership's doing something and you'd have said, well, you know, I would have went with spearmint, but they went with cinnamon. And you're like, well, I just feel that's wrong. It's like, okay, but they went with that one. So, okay, just get on board at that point. In other words, I'm not trying to sanction sinful behavior, but once you make a decision and once the church is going in that direction, you don't want to keep the division alive because the enemy will use that. And so when Paul says, you know, it's a wide door, effective ministry, many oppose me, obviously in context, he's talking about people that oppose the gospel. But I'm telling you that this happens in church life, and I think most of you know this, when people get mad, you know, you know body language? So when people sit there with their hands folded, like they're really like mad, like harumph mad, you know, they ever see them, they sit like harumph,
right? So when the church makes a decision and then they just, during worship or during the Bible teaching, they're just harumph. It's like, don't be one of those people. That's, you know, you don't like it, got it. But if the church made the decision, it's the best decision they can make. Get on board and be a part of it, okay? Not anything sinful, not anything weird, not a bad use of money, none of that stuff. But again, if the church picked cinnamon gun and you want to experiment, don't sit there in a huff and a puff about it. Just be supportive. Ask the Lord to help it work out, all right? Because what's most amazing is God is able to make all things work together for good. Watch this. For your church, too. Because they love God, right? To them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. And God will make it work out. He's, you know, he's the master. He's the master weaver. I always think of somebody doing a weave, like one of those, pictures where they have the different thread colors and so on. So God's perfect at that. He does it just flawlessly. So if it's not the exact color you thought it was supposed to be, or not the exact size of thread, or not the exact thickness, it's okay. It's all right. Let's just, you know, get it together. Because one of the things that Satan uses against the church is this division on stupid things. If it's a division on doctrinal, it's different. If it's division on moral behavior, that's different. It's division on stewardship, that's different. But once you've made the decision, get behind it, support, strengthen, and pray for and not against. And that would be my biggest lesson out of this. Paul is recognizing that there's an open door for ministry, and he knows that this is what the Lord has opened, but he also knows he's going to face a lot of fire through the process. Don't be one of the people that brings the fire in the process. Is that a nice way to say that? I think it is. I think most of you know exactly what I'm talking about if you've been to church for more than a week. All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Just as I am, you reach down and see.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
GOP congressman's gay son was going to come on their show, and they were going to talk to him, and CNN and MSNBC canceled the interview because he wouldn't criticize his father. He wouldn't downgrade his father because his father maintained his beliefs. His son becomes gay, makes a decision, by the way, to become gay. And the son will not criticize the father who does not change his Christian convictions, will not change them,
Father won't change him. Son will not criticize the father for that. MSNBC and CNN both canceled their interviews because the guy would not crucify his father. That is, of all things, how sweet the sound. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. That was a nice mix. Did you like that? Yeah. All right. We got our history. We're going to get to that in a second. But first, we're going to do our trivia question. We on board? Everything good? Okay, everything's fine. This is a, now I want you to think, remember we were talking about major prophets and minor prophets. Remember, major prophets are not that they're more important. Their texts are longer. They have more to say. More like me, like an hour and a half show versus the 30-minute show. Okay. All right. Then, well, this is going to be one of the major prophets. That's their only hint. What book in the Old Testament starts with, now it came to pass in the 30th year in the fourth month and in the fifth day of the month that as I was among the captives by the river of Chebar that the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. What major prophet opened it up with that as his first line? If you think you know, 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483. You kind of got a 1 in 4 chance in this, I think. So that's kind of the, and I'll read it one more time and then we'll get into the history because we got to do our history because we can't forget history. Here's how it opens. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Chebar, that the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. What opening line, what book in the of the major prophets is at the opening line four. There you go on that. In the meantime, let's cover a little bit of history.
Let's go live it in the past. Let's go live it in the past.
All right, so there's not as many national days on this. Believe it or not, this is one of the days that doesn't have a lot of national things going on. It's National Proofreading Day, which I could have used on Friday, thanks. But anyway, so because it's National Proofreading Day, it's National Peanut Cluster Day. I'm good for that.
Yes, love
right?
Peanut cluster.
Peanut clusters. Watch this one. This is a great one. Just ready. Get ready. Okay. Fun Facts About Names Day. So this is a day where they've created what are interesting facts about people's names. And in the United States, one thing you probably don't know is the number of people with names that rhyme, like Jake Flake. Like how many rhyming
snake.
Names. Yeah, this is a snake. Right, right. So there's like 62,900 people, about 63,000 people that have a name that rhyme between their first name and their second name in America. Isn't that just the most bizarre? Who cares? But it's fascinating. I mean, it's a fascinating fact, you know. as long as they didn't call me Loser Boozer, I think I'm fine. Okay, here we go. Also, in addition, for those that do not know, today in 1899, aspirin was patented by Felix Hoffmann at the German company Bayer. Let's see, Bayer aspirin. It's 122 years ago. First in 1936 on this day, the first stock car race is held in Daytona Beach. 1952, the first use of an artificial heart on a human. A 41-year-old male was kept alive for about 80 minutes. That's kind of amazing. And then in 1972, the first flight of the Goodyear blimp took place on this day. All facts that you will never use your entire life. But nonetheless, there they are. All right, so we're going to cover our next teaching as soon as I can find out what I did with it. The trivia question is there for you. If you think you know, you are welcome to respond to call in. We got people texting in all over the place. Here is the question. What book does this open up in? What Old Testament prophet? Now, it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Chebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. If somebody calls in, we'll do that. If not, I'll have T remind me. We'll give you the answer at the end. I'm trying to think. I think there's something I'm forgetting, and I can't think of what it is. Okay, we did the website. We did this. Is there something I can't remember? Did the joke. Did that. Yeah. I'm good to go. All right, that's good enough. All right, here we go. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He comforts us in our affliction. Okay, first, can you just stop? Some of the things that people do when they read the Bible is you read for speed. Don't read for speed. Never read the Bible for speed. You're not in a hurry. Take your time. Go through each thought. You know, they have the inductive way of doing Bible study. They have devotionals ways. They have different study ways. All I would say to anybody who's reading the Bible is slow down. Just slow down and think about it. It's all you got to do. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Do you know that it's you and I that situationally we need comfort? There are things that happen that are hard, things that happen that are difficult. And sometimes, and I'll just say this, I think this is true for most everybody, sometimes you just feel bluesy. I mean, you ever just feel bluesy? You ever just feel like, you know, I don't know if it's dietary or this or that or whatever. I don't know. It could be 100 different things. But God is a God of comfort. He cares about his creation. And if you can, I don't want you to visualize, but if you could understand that God puts his arms around us like a mom puts her arms around her child or a father puts his arms around the child, that's comforting. You know, kind of like if you had a little blankie when you were a kid, like I had a blankie, it was comforting. And after we have this person answer this trivia question, we're going to talk about why does God give us that comfort? What's the point of that? Okay. All right. Right. We got somebody answering. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Yes, sir. Will Rogers.
Hi. How are you?
I'm great. I hope you're better.
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for asking. I really do appreciate that. All right, so this is a good trivia question. We're looking for what book starts with now it came to pass in the 30th year in the fourth month and the fifth day of the month. I was among the captives by the river Chebar that the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. What book starts that way?
I believe it would be the prophet Ezekiel.
That is 100% correct. You are right. Excellent. Did you kind of know right away, or did you have to think, is that Jeremiah? Is that Ezekiel? Did you kind of know? No, I know it's visions.
I knew it right away. Just took a little time to call in.
Got it. Not a problem. And I so appreciate you calling in. It's an effort to call in when, you know, no matter where you're at, it takes time out of your day to do it. And I appreciate that you did it and you nailed it. So great job.
Yes, sir. You have a great day.
All right. Thank you. God bless you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Excellent. All right, Ezekiel. That's right, that dude. Have you ever read that book? There's a lot of great stuff in there, and I highly suggest reading it multiple times because if you just read it once in one translation, you kind of miss a little, I think. You know, I've read it in like 16 translations, which is a lot better because you get kind of like these different grips of understanding. But, dude, when you read that book, you're thinking, this guy, he saw a lot of stuff. That's what's just, you can only think of Revelation when you read that book. It's like, wow. It's like, wow. All right. Let me go back to this. So, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Now, the word comfort and mercy many times in the Greek are interchangeable, believe it or not. Yes, they are. It's like, no, it can't be. Yes, they are. Just like in the English language, we have words that are interchangeable, like, oh, that's totally cool, or that's totally awesome. It's like, yeah, you could use either one of those. Makes the same, communicates the exact same thing. That's how language is. That's what linguistics is all about. Actually, linguistics is about the hearing of it, but that's besides the point. So the bottom line is, God is telling us that he's a God of all comfort. Not some comfort, not partial comfort, not minute comfort, all comfort. But then he says this. This is what the scripture says. Paul, under the verbal plenary process, being led by the Holy Spirit but not losing his personality in the writing, writes this. He comforts us in all our affliction, ready, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any kind of affliction through the comfort we ourselves receive from God. That which we receive from God, okay? Listen to what I'm saying. Forgiveness, grace, kindness, compassion. We're supposed to use that for the sake of other people too. It is something you are supposed to receive. It is something. Whoops, I keep hitting the mic. It is something that you're supposed to take on. It is something you're supposed to absorb. But it is also something you are supposed to give out and give back, which is why you'll hear me defend strongly that people need to learn to receive forgiveness, because in their own lives, they don't do that good a job of receiving it. And most of the time, when you don't do a great job of receiving it, you don't, not all the time, but most of the time, you don't do a great job of extending it. You can give out much better what you've learned to receive in. Just, you can't, you know. I mean, you can't, it's not a, oh, that's a logic argument. No. If you've received forgiveness from God, you have a greater propensity to extend that forgiveness, because you've received it and you know it. And the comfort operates the same way. If God is in your life and he's brought you comfort, he doesn't just do it for you in your own personal affliction. He also comforts you so you can be a vehicle of his comfort. So you receive in and then you give out. You don't lose when you give it out. You don't drain the comfort God has given you. You just learn to become more like God and be a vehicle of his. And you know that that comfort you're giving somebody else is coming from the Lord, and you should let them know that if they need to know that. Be a person who understands that God is a God of comfort, because that's a fantastic way to live your existence here before you hear the trumpet blow. But at the same time, recognize that that comfort you receive is also there to bless somebody else, okay? To give it to somebody else as well. All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience? Imagine yourself on a rocket ship racing at 1,000 miles an hour into space. Once there, you can sense the power and the presence of the majestic and the divine. You forget about your troubles and your fears, and you just float in peace without a worry in the world. There are no struggles, no pain, no discomfort. It's soothing, calm, comfortable. But then the show starts, and you realize that none of that stuff has anything to do with the show. What were you thinking? The David Spoon Experience, only for the brave of heart and the bored.
My next guest has been on the show before with a prior book. I'm very excited to talk to him about this book. I've seen a couple of the interviews that he's done, and this book is a great apologetic book on Christology, and I'm hoping that people will really enjoy this. First and foremost, let's welcome back to our show David Limbaugh. David, how are you doing, sir?
Great. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Excellent book, by the way. Big props. We're writing The
Thank
True
you.
Jesus, Uncovering the Divinity of Christ in the Gospels. I know they give me a list, and I know you know they give a list for us to ask questions, but if you remember from the last time you were on the show, I rarely look at that list.
So, no, that's good. That's
yeah, because I like to get from you as the author, you know, kind of where it was going and what you were thinking. So let's just talk about, at the core level, you know, for the purpose of writing this book, what was the big goal you were trying to accomplish in writing The True Jesus?
Well, I started out, I wanted to write a primer, a survey, an introduction to the New Testament. And as I got into it, I realized that I could not cover it adequately with sufficient depth. So I asked the publisher, Regnery, if I could narrow the focus to just the Gospels, because the Gospels are where you see the living Son of God and you encounter him. And you sit at his feet and hear his teachings and you watch him. and you observe his behavior and his authoritative teaching and his empathy for human beings, and you see his declaration of divinity and why he led the Jewish authorities to want to crucify him, because he was, in fact, claiming to be God, because he is God. And so I want his divinity and his full humanity to jump off the pages of my book. And the book is a compendium of the four Gospels in a consolidated account, not attempting to be a harmony, which you can't totally do, and in a roughly chronological form. The ultimate goal, and with a running commentary, the ultimate goal is I want to inspire people to read the Gospels and the Bible for themselves.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Just for those that do not know, just keeping people in the loop on things. A week from Thursday will be our two-year anniversary. So coming up, wow. And around that time, I think we're going to be, and I asked Jennifer about this, it's really hard to nail down because we've had some shows that didn't record, some shows that got preempted, some shows that, you know, so like different things. So we're closing in on 500 for our Texas ministry that we've had here. So I think that's I think stuff like that's cool. Can't over freak out on memorials, but you can enjoy them, I think. All right. Here's a trivia question, and I'm telling you now, it's hard. Okay. Marshmallow rock. Notice how one of those is hard? Okay. This is going to be hard. Like a rock. Okay. Here we go. I'm going to ask you what book this starts. It's one of Paul's epistles. An epistle is not the wife of an apostle. It means letter. And this is the beginning of his shorter epistles. That's all I'm going to tell you. This is what he writes. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Which book, which letter, technically, is that the beginning of Paul's epistles? Your only hint is it's the beginning of his shorter ones. Which one starts? Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And I encourage you to look it up. I mean, that's what the whole point is, so that we can be in the book. I think we can do the website one more time. What do you think? Yeah, website. Don't forget about our website. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, big shout out to Al. Nailed it right away. Good job, buddy. Let's see. We got the teaching. I do want to tell you, so this is kind of a warning. I don't give this often, but tomorrow's 1:30, you know, the 1:30 start tomorrow. We have two segments. I am warning you. They are going to be theological in nature, and by saying that, we're going to discuss the law in the first one. And the first opening segment at 1:30 tomorrow, and in the second segment, we're going to discuss if God loves everybody. Oh, I'm just going to leave it there and let you just figure it out, and I'm not going to say anything else. Does God love everybody? And we'll just go from there. All right, so that trivia question will be the last time I ask it, and then if nobody calls in, I'll give it at the answer. At the end, Terrific T will remind me just as a minute before we stop. Paul, an apostle. Not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Opening line to which of the epistles? The only hint is it's the beginning of Paul's shorter ones. So let's go into this DDD that I call All In All the Time. All in all the time, okay? So here's a big hint in life. If you're involved in something and you can't get out of it, right? If you can't get out, this is just a life lesson. If you're into something and you can't get out of it, you might as well get into it because it ain't going away, Get it? All right. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my dear brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the Lord's work, knowing that your labor is not in vain. I'd really like to point out that this admonition in 1 Corinthians 15:58 is not to ministers. Did everybody hear what I just said? It's not to ministers. Not to ministers. It's to everybody. Therefore, dear brothers, be steadfast and immovable, always excelling in the Lord's work. You have the Lord's work in your life. Got that? You have the Lord's work in your life. We come back from this person answering this trivia. I'll get into how that breaks down for us. Ready? 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 Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary.
Hi, brother. How are you?
Well, I'm here. I'm Mike. I'm alive.
All right. But I've been praying for you, so I'm just glad you called in. Sometimes I'm just glad to hear your voice. So
okay,
I appreciate to hear it. All right. This is a tough one. Which book? Paul's got, you know, several epistles. This is the one that says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Which opener is that for?
I believe that's Galatians.
That is correct, sir. That's 100% correct, and that he goes on to break it down. But I love this particular epistle. It's often been called the Magna Carta of the Scriptures in the sense that he just lays it down. Look, this is by faith. We're going to follow Abraham's process, and it doesn't matter if somebody from angel from heaven, quote unquote, gives you another gospel. It's the gospel. And it's such a great epistle. Did you know right away, or did you look it up?
No, I had to look it up.
Yeah, that's a tougher one. That is, I just think, and I've got two other ones that are from Paul, and one of them I was like, I don't know that one. I had to actually look it up. It was like, what? I don't even know what that is, because sometimes it's just simple. Good job, though, Gary. Excellent work.
Okay, well, thank you, and I'll continue to pray for all of you.
And we appreciate it, and don't you stop, okay?
Okay.
All right, God bless, brother.
Thank you.
All right, good job. Good to hear from Gary. Liking that. All right. All right, so I want to go back to this thing, this idea that some people think that the idea of ministry is for everybody else. Wrong, okay? If you just look at Ephesians 4, 12, you'll see that the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers is for equipping the saints for ministry. You have a work in the Lord. I have a work in the Lord. T has a work in the Lord. Jennifer has a work in the Lord. Don has a work in the Lord. Sarah has a work in the Lord. Noel has a work in the Lord. Every one of us has a work in the Lord. And you think, well, but it's different. So? In other words, so? I mean, I think it's really, I know this sounds ridiculous, but let me just say it in a really nice way. If your job in an army capacity was to make sure that the boat had the oars, okay, and they were getting ready to attack and they all got in the boat and the boat didn't have the oars, guess what would happen? They would not attack. I'm just saying, if it had oars, you see what I'm saying? Like every element is essential to one another. That's the whole way that the whole system, it's how your body is. That's what is defined as the body of the Lord. So the scripture says, dear brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the Lord's work, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. You might think, but the thing that I do is so insignificant. That's what Paul talks about our feet. And he says, yeah, everybody thinks, the feet, whatever. Yeah, try walking somewhere without them. Have you thought of that? Can't get very far for any of your other body parts to do anything. My point is, every part is essential. And we should be steadfast, immovable. Now, I, being honest on the air most of the time, I love In-N-Out. In-N-Out Burger is a great burger. Sorry, I like it. I'm from California for 20 years. I mean, that was the better place to get a burger. Whataburger is very good, by the way, so don't get the wrong idea. But, I mean, I'm saying In-N-Out is a great burger. Guess what? You can't be like an In-N-Out Burger in the kingdom. You can't be In-N-Out, In-N-Out. That's what the burger is all about. You can't do that. You just have to be in. You got to be more like a Chevy truck, like a rock. Immovable, excelling in the Lord's work, not our work. And yes, we sanctify and sanction all of our projects. Oh, yes, we do.
This is from the Lord. The Lord told me to get this $9,000 tennis racket. No, I'm not a professional player, but it hums. It's like, okay. So I think we all kind of get where that's going. And it's not for nothing. Yeah, it's a double negative. The work that you do is not for nothing. Okay? It's not in vain. It matters. What you do matters. Your presence matters. Your prayers matter. Your showing up matters. Your existence to touch somebody else matters. You think, well, I'm not like this and I'm not like this. And it's like, well, praise the Lord. The Lord made you the way he wanted to make you. I think he does a fantastic job, and to complain too much about it is to tell God he's doing a lousy job at being God. It's not a brilliant move. Right? The Lord has you for a reason, where you're at, what you're going through. He's going to utilize that. But you and I, we need to be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the Lord's work, knowing that it's not for nothing. And I know some people are like, stop using a double negative. No, because it works. The work that you do in the kingdom of God is not empty. It's not void. It's not useless. It's not wasteful. And you might think the silliest thing, well, all I do is pray for this person. All I do is smile. All I do is send a text saying, hey, be strong in the Lord. All I do is send an email saying, thinking about you. All I do is this, that, there, whatever. The simplest recognition and touch has significant impact on how we function. Sometimes people will send somebody a text just thinking of you, and it matters. Sometimes just the phone call or a postcard or anything like that, because it all makes a difference. And that's part of the Lord's work. I think what we all think of is professional ministry and lights and this and that. And gee, Jesus didn't have that. He did a massively excellent job without that stuff, didn't he? All right. And then those 12 guys behind him, they didn't have that. But they did a massively excellent job, didn't they? Fishermen. We're going to change the world with fishermen. Okay. Only God. All right, folks, you have been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a 22 and a half hour break, then come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then. Skill can't stand the shame.
It may be false, but it feels the same. The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.